You're listening to the Professional Brotherhood Podcast, because when the alarm sounds, nobody cares if you're career or volunteer. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Professional Brotherhood Podcast. Hey, Kara, what's up?
Nothing. Trying to stay warm.
Same here. I'm excited about today. We got a great guest, a return guest. I'm very excited about this one. Jim Moss is joining us. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm staying warm.
That's good.
Not as challenging for you.
Not as challenging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for those of you that do not know Jim and Dan Carrigan joined us a few episodes back. Don't ask me what number. I don't remember. It was a while ago. And we talked about their co-authored book, Firefighter Functional Fitness. I'm really excited to have, there you go, Kara, thank you. Excited to have Jim back tonight, because we're going to talk about firefighter success. And listen, unless you have been completely toned me out over the last month or so and my social media, you obviously already know that I was very, very into this book. And that says a lot right there, right, Kara?
Yes, he's not a reader by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I'm going to out him, because when we had Jim and Dan on to talk about firefighter functional fitness,
yep,
I was like, have you opened it yet? Can you just like open the front cover? Because as you can see, like, look at mine. And Jim can attest to this, because when I brought it to him, when I took the seminar class outside of Rochester, New York, and you came and taught firefighter functional fitness, and I took it, I brought the book, and he had it in his own hands to, he knows.
I almost gave her a replacement. I mean, it was pretty sad, but awesome. Sad and awesome at the same time.
So, right. So Jim, if you don't mind, just introduce yourself for those who may not know who you are. I'm pretty sure most of our listeners do, but if you wouldn't mind, just introduce yourself and we'll dive into it.
Yeah. So first of all, you know, thank you so much for having me back a second time. And, you know, I really appreciate your guys' friendships and especially all that you do for me, and just, you know, how you have really dug in deep to firefighter success. And, you know, Kara, at least you did for firefighter functional fitness, but but how you guys have supported me just really means the world to me, honestly. And I really am grateful from the bottom of my heart for all that. But about me, I am a career fire captain at Metro West in St. Louis County. I've been there for about 13 years. Was in EMS at St. Louis City EMS for 3 years before that as a paramedic. Been a fire officer for 6 or 7 years now. As you already mentioned, I co-authored Firefighter Functional Fitness with Dan Carrigan. That's been out for about 5 years now. It's made its way to about 50 countries worldwide, which is awesome. And just like you guys, I just have a passion for helping firefighters, and, you know, want to provide them with resources that will help them, whether it's their physical fitness, it's, you know, leading themselves, or just bettering themselves in any way possible. So that's really what I'm all about. And I'm not really writing books to make a name for myself or anything like that. I just truly have a desire to want to help firefighters, and that's what I'm all about.
Well, look, I can tell you that when you dive into this book, that is extremely evident. I know for me, it's a very easy read. It's just filled with all kinds of amazing nuggets from amazing people. I mean, yourself included, but, you know, a lot of guests that you brought in to share some knowledge as well. And, you know, the fact that it's written to just help others, it reads that way. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It reads that way, that it's a, it's a true self-help book for firefighters.
Yeah. And I guess you could call it self-help, but it's really about us helping each other, right? Yeah, as firefighters, sure. You know, and so I'm very honest in the, what I wrote for, you know, from the author section or my introduction to the book, I'm very honest about, you know, I did not create these 20 core principles that are in the book, right? You know, they are just natural principles of leadership, of leading yourself, that are just out there, right? So I didn't necessarily create them, but they've been passed on to me by other leaders, by my mentors, and I wanted to pass them on to other firefighters. And I really went into the mindset of writing this book that I wish someone would have given me this book or written this book for me before I was a firefighter or when I was starting out as a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of like my mindset. So like, you know, my son or my two daughters, if they wanted to become firefighters, I wanted to be able to give them something to say, hey, if you want to be successful in the fire service, you know, read this book and it's a good foundation for you. And also, as I say in the introduction, you know, a lot of the book came out of mistakes I've made, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's really important and evident in the book is that we're all going to make mistakes, but it's really about how we respond and how we learn from those mistakes about that's really how that defines our success moving forward. Cause so many times we make mistakes and we just, you know, hate on ourselves for it. And I don't like that, you know, and so many times we don't learn from them and, or maybe we're too proud. We're not humble enough to learn mm-hmm. from our mistakes. And then we just dig ourselves a deeper hole. And we all know the firefighters who will never, ever, ever admit to being wrong, right? We know those firefighters. And that's one of the reasons I started with chapter one is really about being coachable, about being humble, because I really believe that is the foundation of every successful, every great firefighter is being humble in humility. And once you have that, you know, I'm a work in progress, we're all works in progress, but once you really have that as your foundation, you know, that's your launching point, you know, the sky's the limit. For sure.
I'm intrigued by the process because, you know, I read a book like this and some of the things as I'm reading it and Kara, you jump in here if you feel the same way, or I have a feeling you're gonna, all right. You know, I read some of the words in the book and some of the captions and some of the thoughts and they're thoughts I've had to myself over the years. You know, so I'm kind of intrigued by the process of how you put all of this together and how long that took you. You know, have you been keeping notes for years and you just finally got to the point you're like, hey, I'm going to start putting all this stuff together because I think I've got a lot of great stuff here to share with others? Or how did you get to the point of actually, you know, putting it in a book?
Yeah, it's kind of a long. It's definitely a long process. You know, it's been going my entire career and mm-hmm. I'm sure I could publish a volume two in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, right? Because we're always learning and that's what successful sure. firefighters do. But actually like writing the book, it started probably about 5 or 6 years ago when I was writing for Firefighter Toolbox.
Okay.
I wrote an article called 10 C's to firefighter success or to becoming a successful firefighter. And it had some of the C's that are within the book. I had that and it was started as an article and it never, you know, I never published it. I never put it out there, but it just kind of sat on the back burner. And so that's always been there. But then starting in 2019, I really got serious about this. You know, I started writing, you know, got my outline together, what C's I thought was important. And I think I went all the way up to like 25 or 26 or whatever C's, right? And then I kind of backed it down to 20 of what I thought were the most important. But I started writing in 2019 and it just chipped away at it. You know, like they say, how do you eat an elephant? You know, you just one bite at a time. And I just kind of pecked away at it. Just, you know, for me, I work on Google Docs and I just would put, if I had an idea at 3 a.m. in the morning, I would just enter it, you know, and write it down as a note or whatever, and then go back and develop it later. So I really spent all of 2019 writing it to where I thought it was solid, sent it to an editor, and my editor got it back to me. And then I spent a lot of 2020 just developing what I wanted the book to look like, its design, its feel, because you, as you've read it and you've looked at it, it has a very specific feel. You know, I have photos from Chris Smead, which is an awesome photographer from California who photographs a lot of California firefighters, specifically San Jose Fire Department. His work is amazing. And I really wanted to capture within each chapter specific images that really held the theme of that chapter. So stuff like that, you know, I just, as these ideas came about, I put them down and organized them. And it's kind of funny, you know, they say, as you write books, it's kind of like a baby, right? You know, it's kind of like a kid that you are cultivating all along, right? And you want it to be quote unquote perfect, or you want to put your mark on it, but eventually you're finally going to have to release it and put it out there for the world to read and see what happens with it. Right. And
sure,
it's never going to be perfect. Right. And it's just like your kid, if you're raising your own kids or whatever, they're never going to be perfect or whatever, but you're going to do the best you can in the process and put forward the best product that you possibly can. But yeah, that's how it all came together about over, I don't know, 2 years or so. So obviously I put a lot of thought, a lot of effort into it. And it wasn't something that wasn't just created in 2 weeks and I just kind of spit it out there. But it's something that, you know, I wanted to really leave my mark on. And like I said before, I just wanted a resource to help every firefighter, whether it's an aspiring firefighter, a rookie firefighter, or, mm-hmm. you know, captain, chief officer, whatever. I just wanted something that had strong core principles for every firefighter to use throughout their career for success.
Awesome. Jim, when you were developing it and thinking about what your goals were for this project and how you wanted to roll it out to the fire service community, did you have an inclination about how it was going to blow up the way that it did? Because I see it's like, it seems to just be absolutely everywhere now. And I see that several places are ordering multi copies for their staff, which is excellent because it is very much like a textbook, you know? And I think that that's a great way to put it out there for new recruits and for probational members and for new firefighters or for people looking to go into the fire service. Did you have that thought that it was going to go like that when you started it? Was that your vision?
No, I mean, absolutely not. Like I said, I mean, it's first of all, I'm humbled by the reception it's had. You know, like I said before, my desire was just to provide a resource that I thought would help every firefighter, would help me when I was a brand new or an aspiring firefighter to be successful. And so I'm honored and I'm blessed that it's blown up the way it has, and how quote unquote successful that it's been in its first 2 months since it's been out. But really, you know, I didn't expect it. You know, there's a point when you come through these things and I'm creating this, my baby, right? Over the past 2 years. And there's points of self-doubt where you're like, I've put in all this work to something I'm so passionate about. What if no one cares about it? What if no one reads it? No one buys it.
Sure.
You know, what if no one listens to my podcast? All these different things that, you know, we always have these self-doubts, right? Which I think it's good to have a little self-doubt to be humble, but there's another side of me that's just like you guys. I'm just so determined. I'm just so passionate. And it doesn't matter if it only affects one person or only one person buys a copy and it affects them in a positive way. That's what matters. Right. And so,
yeah.
You know, if that's kind of the mindset you go into things, you know, as, you know, just trying to help one person, I think that's a good mindset to have. And, you know, if it reaches thousands or hundreds of thousands of firefighters, eventually, you know, the more the merrier on my part, you know. So yeah, that's a good question. I appreciate it, and thanks for that.
Well, I think there's a lot, you know, there's so much in the book, really. You know, it's hard to find a fire service book that you can pick up and from the first page to the last you find relevancy. right? And that's what I found, you know, and again, we don't draw the line between the career side and the volunteer side. Our lane here is mostly the volunteer side, but it's very hard to find lots of things. There's lots of authors out there. There's lots of books being written, but it's very hard to find things that cross over as much as this does. And really from the start to finish are relevant to your journey and the service, you know, and even things that there were certain, you know, certain things that I was reading that, you know, were reminders to me where I'm like, I think I'm pretty good at that, you know, but it reinforced how I felt about, you know, certain C's. But then there's other ones. I know when I was reflecting on it, as I'm reading it, I'm like, all right, I could probably be better at that one. You know, I'm doing all right with this one and this one, but I could probably be a little bit better with this one, you know, and reading your take on it along with some of the, you know, guests that you had throughout the book, I just found extremely helpful. And, you know, as I'm sharing it on my social media and I've got, you know, people that relate to me sending me messages going, hey, listen, is this thing really as good as you say it is? Or is this guy throwing you a couple bucks?
You just blowing smoke or what?
Right. I'm like, no, listen, I said, you know, I'm like, no, absolutely. You know, a couple guys at my station ordered it, you know, guys that typically I don't think would dive into a fire service book were like, hey, it seems like you're getting a lot out of this. And I did. I felt I did.
You know, well, so. I appreciate that. And you know, as a company officer, I'm a trainer. I'm an instructor for my crew. Sure. But yep. I've also been an actual battalion or a shift-wide instructor for my fire department. And I always made it my aim with whatever I was teaching, it had to be relevant. Mm-hmm. Because so many times instructors, and I'm sure you'll probably identify that with me with firefighter functional fitness, you know, it has to be practical. It has to relate to the job, right? So that was something big to me, is that whatever example I gave or whatever I presented in the firefighter success book, it had to be relevant to what we actually do on the job. And yeah, I think I break it down in the competent chapter. I can't remember what number that is, but the competent chapter is that all training has to have the three R's, right? It has to be relevant first to what we do. It has to be realistic, and it has to be repetition, or we have to repeat it over and over again, so it becomes ingrained in us. And so I'm glad that you saw that, you know, it's relevant to whether it's, you know, career, paid on call, volunteer, whatever, because these are just good universal core principles. And like I said, I didn't invent them, you know, and I'm pretty honest about that in the book. And like you said, you know, there's some things that you were good at already. You felt like you had kind of mastered, or you were comfortable
with. You know, like I felt there, like I'm okay. Yeah. I'm doing this one all right. You know,
they were part of your strengths. Right. But there are other areas that are part of your weaknesses. And it's the same for me too. I mean, just because I wrote the book doesn't mean I am a perfect example of everything in the book. And I'm very honest about that and some of the mistakes I've made.
Sure.
But like for me, I mean, I'll be honest right now, some of my downfalls or weaknesses, and I talk about this in the book, some of my downfalls are I'm trying to become a better listener. And I think every guy is trying to become a better listener. You can talk to my wife about that. but also I'm someone who is in progress of someone who needs to be more patient and more compassionate, right? And I don't know if that's my kind of like, you know, alpha male, you know, task-oriented self, you know, left side brain kind of guy. But I'm someone who definitely needs to grow in that area when it comes to patience and compassion. And I'm trying to get better, you know, day by day, year by year. So, you know, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses, and we're all works in progress. And you know, success isn't just a certain point that you get to. It's a lifelong journey. You know, just like I say in firefighter functional fitness, fitness is a journey, right? You know, success is a journey. We're always in progress,
sure.
Trying to better ourselves in every way.
Yeah. One of the things that I really love about the book too, is that it's very collaborative. Like, as you point out, it's not just only, and Brian, you can probably attest to this too. But I like to read a lot of books. I like to read a lot of information that's out there and always try to be learning. And it is nice to, when you're reading a book that invites lots of other ideas and opinions and thoughts from people in the service as well. And it's not just unilateral to what your thoughts are. I mean, you really made a point to bring in other people into the book and include their thoughts, which I thought was really made the book even more relevant and interesting and introduced me to a lot of other people's ideas, you know, as well. That was really great.
I appreciate that. You know, I had Jason Holman do the foreword, Captain Mark Von Oppen, he wrote the introduction. I had Dan Kerrigan write within the credibility chapter all about, you know, leaders and the examples we all set. I had Dina Ali in the courage chapter write about emotional courage, and man, her contribution, if I can encourage people to go back and listen to her podcast with the Firefighter Success Podcast, it's just so good and so important. Just having John Spera write about what just being he responded to the Aurora movie theater shooting and what it means to just be cool, calm, and collected. You know, just so many different sources I wanted to pull from. And so, you know, we get connected, we have this network as people who are out there in social media. And so we're so blessed to be able to pull from different sources and pull from different people who can share their experiences and make it even more powerful. So that was one of my goals, is to make sure that, you know, I wasn't saying everything in the book, that I could pull from other people and share what they were thinking as well. So I appreciate you recognize that.
Yeah. And, you know, bringing it full circle with the podcast, I think has been huge. And if you're listening, you know, if you're listening to this and you don't know that Jim has a podcast that goes along with all of this, it's essentially, what are you up to, like 9 episodes now?
I just recorded number 11 and number 12 tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. So there's 10 episodes out there, and they're all people that will be familiar to you if you've read the book. But I've really enjoyed listening to the podcast because some of the people I've grown to know either through their own work or social media or what have you, but others I kind of was introduced to through the book, and then the podcast takes it to that next level. And like you said, I listening to the response and the story behind that Aurora movie theater incident was that was an unbelievable episode for me to listen to, you know, just listening to, you know, how training and mindset and basically set him up for that hopefully once in a lifetime incident.
Yeah. And we never know when that incident's going to come. And that's why we need to take our training seriously, and we need to keep our cool, you know, and stay calm in those situations. And so blessed that John Spera could contribute that to the book and also come on the podcast. That was also an amazing podcast episode too. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, just that, actually two things. So I this popped into my head before, and I want to say it before it goes out again. When I was reading the reviews on Amazon, you know, we're talking about firefighters, who obviously most of the readers are firefighters, but I did see one or two reviews there from people not in the fire service that, you know, found the content, found the 20 C's, you know, relevant to them in whatever it is that they're doing in life, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, changing that word firefighter and turning it into whatever, you know,
Just called success. It's not called firefighter success anymore. It's just called success.
Right. Just success. And so
life success.
So I thought that, you know, really did speak volumes, to the content and how it can really cross over into any aspect of life.
Yeah. I appreciate that, because as I say in the book is that, you know, these aren't only 20 principles that are going to help you be successful in your fire service career, right? These are 20 principles that are going to help you be successful in your personal life as well, right? So these 20 principles are all about helping you lead yourself so you can be successful in any area you want to be in. So as long as you adopt them, and more importantly, you actually act them out, because we all know that's the most important part, right? You can read a book and it's all theory until you actually act it out and put it into action. You know, it goes the same for your fitness too, right? So it's all good and well. You know, you got to adopt the mindset, and it has to be in your heart. But until we act these principles out, you know, that means nothing. So make sure you're actually putting them into practice. And that's why each chapter has action steps with it, right? It has concrete steps that every person can take, whether it's a question of, do you need to be more humble? What are the areas in your life that you need to be more humble? What are your strengths and weaknesses? List them here. What are your core principles? You know, what are your values? What is your mission statement? You know, what are you all about? So I think that's really powerful to have those action steps. And those were very intentional. We did those with firefighter functional fitness as well. Mm-hmm. But I think and you guys, I'm sure you'll agree, by writing down something and answering a question, it makes it real, you know, and you actually having to think about it and translate it down to writing it out. Hopefully that helps someone actually put it into action, and it helps them improve in some way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about on the show about leadership and mentorship. And I know that that's a common theme and thought and struggle amongst many departments. About how to have good leadership and how to offer good mentorship within your departments. And I think that it's very true that there's lots of resources that talk about that and talk about what it means and how to make it work. But then to be able to use the action steps to take it into carryover into physical manifestation is really something that is missing very frequently and very hard for people to take that next step. I think that a lot of leaders get into kind of they fall into the trap of problem-oriented leadership, right? Where then they can identify the problem, they can state the problem, they can share the problem with everyone else, but then they get stuck there.
And what are we gonna do now?
Right. Right. Yeah, for sure.
So then it's kind of like on repeat, right? They stand up every time there's a problem and they tell everybody what the problem is and they complain about the problem and they make sure everybody knows what the problem is, but then there's never a solution. There's never that carry out. And sometimes that's a personality thing and that's that person's leadership style, you know, and maybe they don't have the ability to self-recognize and make those changes to change out of that mindset from problem-oriented leadership to solution-oriented leadership. But I think that for some people, they really just don't know how to take those action steps to carry over. It's just not something that's necessarily taught.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's like we talk, but what are we doing about it? Right. You know, we identify these problems, but what are we actually doing to take action to fix these problems? You know, am I an unfit firefighter? Okay, I've identified that. I know I'm an unfit firefighter, but what am I actually going to do? I can admit that I have to improve in that area, but what am I actually going to do to make myself better, to improve myself? Does that mean I'm going to go walk for 10 minutes, you know, at a slow pace? Great. That is awesome. That's what I want everybody to do who identified that problem. Or like you said, within your own fire department, do we have poor morale? Do we have a culture problem? Let's identify what's causing that and actually take action steps to improve that, right? I really couldn't agree with you more that, you know, it's great that we identify problems, but we need to take action to fix those problems. And maybe our first course of action isn't the best action that we take, but at least it's a launching point. At least it's a starting point for us to move forward and do something. You know, we put that first action into place. Maybe it didn't work out the best, but at least we did something. We can reevaluate it, right? You know, we can evaluate, we can reevaluate, and then we can put maybe a little different action step into place, but at least we're doing something, right? So, you know, you hit the nail on the head, you know, I don't want to really add to it anymore, but it really is all about taking action, whether it's in leadership or fitness or whatever it is. You know, thoughts are great, you know, habits are great, but if until we actually put into action, that's what really matters.
Yeah. You know, and personally, like I said earlier, whether it's reading a book like this or fitness or whatever it may be, you have to have the ability to self-reflect. You know, you have to have the ability to look in the mirror and realize, all right, you know, I need to make a change, whatever that change may be. If you know, if it is fitness, if it's changing your leadership style, if it's, mm-hmm. if it's, you know, how you interact with people, if it's, you know, the fact that you're stubborn and you're always right, you know, it all starts with realizing that, hey, I'm not perfect. And that comes back
to what? It comes back to humility. And that's why humility is really the foundation, whether it's saying I need to improve in this area, or it's saying, you know, I need to learn more, I need to train in this certain area more. Right. I really can't express more how passionate I am about humility being the foundation of everything tied to a firefighter success, because we all know, you know, whether you got 2 days on the job or you got 20 years on the job, you know, you can identify the prideful, arrogant, egotistical firefighters, you know, whether they got the 2 days on or the 20 years on, or you can identify those firefighters who are humble, who all are always hungry. They're passionate about the job. They always want to learn. Mm-hmm. They want to become better. They want others to become better. And not to get off on a tangent, but that's another thing about successful firefighters is that successful firefighters want other firefighters to be successful. They celebrate other firefighters' success. You know, if I remember, you know, I think I took the captain's test maybe 3 or 4 times. And I remember wishing other lieutenants, who were trying to go on to captain like me. I remember wishing them good luck and say, hey, you know, do a good job. And I remember if I didn't get it and someone else got it, I said, hey, congrats, man. Good job. You know, and that was important to me because I wanted to celebrate their success and what they were doing. And I realized, hey, that wasn't my turn. That wasn't my time. And my time is yet to come. And so I eventually made captain. I think that's really important. Like I said, I didn't want to get off too big on a tangent, but I really think that's important for us as successful firefighters to celebrate each other's success, to give encouragement, because it's really win-win-win, you know? So if someone else gets the promotion, if someone else gets an accolade, if they had a save or a rescue or whatever, you know, that doesn't take away from my success. That doesn't take away from your success. Let's celebrate the wins that we have as firefighters and lift each other up and encourage each other.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you talk about that in the terms of being a good mentor also in the book. And I think that one of the best things that you can do if you're mentoring a new member or a young firefighter is not have the focus be become great like me, because that doesn't make a good mentor, and that's not a good message to send. But the mentality, I think, for mentors should be help me. I want to help you become the best version of yourself.
Yeah. You don't have to be like me, right? You know, I want you to find your avenue to success and succeed in that area. So if I have a new firefighter, they might not want to be a company officer. They might not want to be a driver. They might just want to be the best firefighter that they can be. And if that's your goal, and I ask my firefighters every single year, you know, we switch around crews and different engine houses and all that stuff. So I ask my firefighters, what are your short-term goals? What are your long-term goals? Just so I know, you know, what do you want to accomplish in the next 6 to 12 months that we have together? And then what do you want to accomplish in the next 5 to 10 years? Do you want to be an officer? Do you want to be a driver? Do you just want to be a firefighter? And that's great. Whatever your goal is, I just want to know what it is. But to your point, like, you don't have to be a company officer or a chief officer or whatever, but whatever your passion is, be real about it and make sure you act upon it and be the best version of yourself that you can be. You know, I get so tired and it's so frustrating watching firefighters who, excuse my language, who piss away their potential to be the best that they can be, right? They just coast along. They don't care. And they're fine with being mediocre. And, you know, us on this, you know, all of us on this podcast can't really identify that. You know, we always crave to be better. We always crave to be the best that we can be. And that's what I want for my firefighters on my crew and anyone who comes under my leadership. I want them to be the best possible version of themselves that they can possibly be. And like you said, I'm just providing them with the tools, with the encouragement, and hopefully the leadership and the mentorship, the coaching that they need to find their success, because their success might be different than my success, right?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, we shouldn't be striving for the minimum standard.
Right.
You know, there's people out there that they strive for, or they're okay with meeting the minimum standard, whatever
right.
that is. You know?
Right.
And you know, and I've had this conversation before. I even had a little piece about it in the article that I wrote. You know, it's called a minimum standard for a reason. It's not what we're supposed to strive for.
Right. Right. Masking up in under a minute, you know, getting it in 59 seconds, that's not good. You know, that's right. not acceptable. You know, masking up in, like I say in the book, masking up, your goal should be 15 seconds or less, you know,
sure.
and if you're working towards that goal, that's good. You know, so the minimum standard is not something that, you know, you should be proud of that you achieved it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. And one of the other things you also talk about a few times, and it's, you know, whether it's in the specific unit or not, and we've talked about it a couple times already tonight, is, you know, that path of continuous learning, right? Continuously learning from others. You know, the three of us yeah. talking right now, you know, we're learning. By the end of the hour, we'll probably have learned something, you know.
Is just gonna be an hour. I thought we were going like 5 hours. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I tell, you know, when I'm teaching out at the training center and I'm talking to new recruits and I'm telling them, listen, if you have a question, ask it. You know, yeah. the old adage, you know, somebody else is probably thinking the same thing, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, I'm learning from you guys just as much as you're learning from me. You yeah. might ask a question that I don't know the answer to, and it's going to yeah. make me go research that question and get you an answer. You know,
exactly.
So I'm not standing up here as the instructor that knows yeah. all, because I don't, you know.
Yeah, always be learning, always be training. Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And don't train to complacency. Like we say, you don't yeah. know what you don't know what that call is going to be. So if you're training just to be able to saunter to an alarm that you've been to at the same building 72 times, the next time you go, there could be smoke pouring out of the eaves. You don't know. So yeah. don't train to complacency, train for the unexpected.
Yeah. yeah. And that's really hard to keep that mindset, you know, we've responded to 100 automatic alarms in a row at the same place. And then, you know, 101 time, you know, the 101 time that we respond to this place, like you said, there's smoke pouring out of the place and we're like, oh, you know, yeah. So it's hard to always keep that mindset to always be ready and always think about, you know, what could happen. But it all comes back to, like you said, you know, training and that's really our foundation, and making sure we're ready, we're prepared for the unexpected, which isn't always possible. But we definitely need to keep a strong head on our shoulders to see those events, you know, before they happen.
Yeah. And listen, sometimes it takes a little creativity, right? I mean, I was, I don't want to give credit to the wrong person, so I'm just going to leave it creditless, but I was listening. I was listening to somebody's podcast or watching somebody's YouTube video. And they were talking about just that, you know, responding to those 100 automatic alarms and how hard it is to keep, mm-hmm. you know, to keep your crew with that, in that mindset that this could be the one, and we can't yeah. let our guard down and we have to be ready to do our job, you know, and the example, how these guys used those calls to get some training in was when they were sitting in the street, if they were the second due engine and they're sitting in the street, just kind of, you know, watching what's going on for the 100th time, you know, they're going over truck placement, ladder placement, you know, where they would get water from.
Yeah. Where's just, the hydrant?
Yeah. yeah just exactly. having a conversation, you know? And I was like, such a simple thought, you know, but I'm like,
yeah,
wow, that's genius. You know, like, yeah. why didn't I think about that?
Yeah. And I was talking about, I had my, my firefighter who's a backstepper. I had him riding, you know, the front seat, because he's going to be testing for, lieutenant soon. And, you know, we're going to a first alarm response where we were probably going to be like fourth or fifth due. And, you know, as he's going, he's giving the driver directions and all that stuff. And I'm just, we have our, you know, headsets and everything. I'm like, okay, you know, zoom in on the call, look where the hydrants are. You need to communicate where your hydrants are to your driver, because that's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about getting water.
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, if there's a way to go around, you know, if we're later due, like, you know, fourth, fifth or sixth due, you need to think about, can we go around the call, you know, where, you know, instead of the scene being locked up with fire trucks, mm-hmm. can we go around and go in from a different direction? And, you know, we're on an aerial, we have an aerial truck. And I say, you know, is there going to be a better position for us to go around? And these are all the things you need to think about.
Sure.
You know, when you're, you know, whether you're first due, second due, third due, fourth, you know, whatever it is, just things that you can think about as a firefighter. And he's never kind of thought about those things, right? He's always been the backstepper, but he's trying to advance himself. He wants to become a company officer. And mm-hmm. it's just awesome to like point those things out and you know, share those things with him, because he's like, oh, I've never thought about that before. Right. You know?
Sure.
And so now he's going to be, you know, until promotion time, until the test, he's going to be thinking about those things a little bit differently in his head. The next time he responds to maybe an automatic alarm or a first alarm or whatever, while he's backstepping. But that's just some of the rewarding things I love about, you know, coaching and mentorship and bringing up the next generation, is that, man, there's always these different perspectives. There's always these different things that we can learn. You know, I'm just a company officer, but there's so many things I can learn from incident commander and a chief officer's perspective, you know, whether it's on the fire ground or whether it's administratively, right? There's so many things I can still learn to help me become better at my own position. And I think successful firefighters do that. They kind of lean into or look into the next position. Right. And they take some from that and they're like, oh, well, you know, knowing that kind of helps me be better at my current position, the way I sit right now. So, like I said, always be learning, always be training.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely. I know in our world, in the volunteer world, you have to do that. You know, you have mm-hmm. to, if you're not consistently looking to what your next step in the journey is.
Yeah.
And you're going to be very, very surprised when you get to that step, you know, whether you're a company officer, you know, whether you're a lieutenant going to the captain's position or a captain going to an assistant chief position or eventually getting to the chief's position, you know, it always looks easier when you're watching somebody else do it.
Yeah. The Monday morning quarterback, backstep firefighter. Yeah. It's always easier when you're, you know, just observing. And that's a good point, is that whatever position we're in, whether we're a company officer, driver, firefighter, paramedic, whatever we are, the power and the importance of observation is just so important, because you can just learn so much from observing, you know, the good and the bad of people, of their example. Sure. So observation is just so important. And like you said, you never know when the opportunity is going to present itself. There's always going to be opportunity sooner or later. Sometimes it's sooner, sometimes it's later. But we need to make sure that we're preparing ourselves all along the way for that. When that opportunity arises, we can jump into that and we're ready for it whenever that presents itself.
Absolutely.
Right. Because when you become an officer, the color of your helmet doesn't make it magic. Right. You don't put it on and then you automatically.
You don't know everything once you have that different colored helmet on. Right.
When you're sitting in the back seat and you're watching your officers, you know, hopefully behave professionally, and they seem to know what to do and seem to do it well. And, you know, you think that as soon as you put that helmet on, you're just supposed to automatically know that. But they have to learn it, too. And they had to start somewhere and learn and have, you know, those different experiences and those failures on different scenes to see, you know, what works and what doesn't, but it's not a magic hat, you know?
Yeah. Preach. So, I mean, I was
good knowledge.
I actually just recorded a podcast with Jared Sergi today. No Nonsense Leadership is one of the books he wrote. He runs Trial by Fire and Real Fire Training LLC. And one of the things we talked about is, like you just said, is once you promote, it's not magical, right? You need to be building credibility 365 days a year, not just the day you take your promotional process or not just when the opportunity presents itself for promotion. 365 days a year, you need to be building that credibility with your fellow firefighters, with your company officers, with your chief officers. Mm-hmm. It's not just how you fill out, you know, the multiple choice questions or what answers you give during your interview process, if you have an interview process. It's all about building credibility all along the way. And that starts from day one, you know, as a probationary new firefighter, building your credibility starts from day one and it never stops, right? And, you know, it's kind of funny, like once you become an officer, it kind of starts all over again. And I felt that's the way it felt like to me. It's like, all right, I'm a new lieutenant. Kind of felt like I was just a brand new rookie all over again, you know, because it's, you're in a different role. You're learning so much every single day and you're trying to build that credibility every single day. And it's hard. It's really hard. And you know, I talked to my battalion chief at the time. I was like, man, I didn't know being an officer was so hard. Kind of like what you were saying before, being that backstep firefighter. You know, it looks easy when I'm back in the back of the fire truck. It looks really easy. And I can Monday morning quarterback everything. And it looks really easy to me. But once you're in that position, and not until you're put in that position, it becomes completely different, right? And the weight of that responsibility and that mindset and your behavior, your attitude, I mean, it just completely changes. So if that's one piece of advice I can offer to every firefighter, no matter what level you're at, is just build that credibility from day one. And that's hard to do, but it can be done.
Yeah, for sure. Jim, let me ask you this. So one of the topics we've talked about a few times, you know, here on the show and on social media is, you know, you're passionate for the job, right? You're passionate about the job. Kara is, I am, right? And I'm a firm believer in that passion is contagious, you know, that for some people it might take a little longer to come around than others, but I think that eventually if you just can keep pushing ahead, that even the most difficult of people eventually come around, or at least start to come around, you know, to be passionate about the job. But, you know, as somebody who's, you know, worked his way up through the fire service, is out there on social media, has written a couple of books, I'm sure you've got, you know, those people that along the way have been like, who's this guy that you work with, you know, you know, that are, you know, who does he think he is, you know? And I think it's helpful to people to hear, you know, how you kind of push that to the side or just keep doing what you're doing. And I don't want to say ignore it, because I don't think there is ignoring it. I think it gets to all of us a little bit, you know, but how do you keep pushing forward and just doing your thing and just keep that passion going and just keep the train moving forward?
Yeah. So I love the quote. If you want to please everyone, go sell ice cream, right? You know? Yeah. So
it's a good one.
I think as leaders, no matter what position you're in, if you're a firefighter, if you're a company officer, whatever position you're in, if you want positive change, if you want to influence others and make them better, you are a leader, right? So with leadership, I don't care what level you're at, whether it's the fire service, whether it's government, whether it's, you know, whatever you're doing, you're always, always, always going to face criticism, right? Yep. So don't feed the trolls. don't stop at every single barking dog that comes along the way. You're not going to be able to please everybody. You're not going to be able to convert everybody. Not everybody is going to be passionate about the job. And that's okay in a way. You know, you wish everybody was passionate about the job. That would be a utopia fire service, right? Mm-hmm. But that's just not ideal. It's not realistic. So it really comes back to, and I write about this in the Firefighter Success book, it really comes back to believing in yourself, knowing your core values, knowing your mission, knowing your vision, what you want to accomplish for yourself. And as a leader, putting others in front of yourself and your own desires and wanting to see others succeed, and making sure that you know that you're not going to please everybody, like I said, that mm-hmm. you're going to have to just keep moving. Because I like to break it down the rule of thirds. There's a third of firefighters who are passionate about the job. They love the job and they're always going to improve. There's a third of the firefighters in the middle who are on the fence. They could go either way. They could really move towards positive change under great leadership, or they can move towards negative change, apathy, mediocrity, the minimum standard, as you said,
sure.
Under poor leadership. And then there's the bottom third. There's nothing that's really going to change them. There's nothing that's going to get them better, no matter how hard you try. Hopefully they retire. Hopefully, you know, they find a way out of this fire service. But no matter what you do, you're not really going to affect that lower third. And hopefully it's a lower percentage than that, you know, 33.3%. But we have to realize that as leaders, regardless of whatever position we're in, we need to realize that we're not going to save everybody. And so we need to do the best we can with what we've got, right? And so if that means hopefully saving or motivating, leading 2/3 of the fire service, let's do that, you know. And if we can't do the bottom third, then so be it. But like I said before, you're always going to face criticism. You're always going to face negativity as a leader, whether you hold rank or not. But you have to believe in yourself. And that's really sure. what it comes back to. And believing in your mission and what you're about. And that's why I wrote about that. It's so important to know what you're about, know your core values. Because if you don't know that, someone else is going to decide for you, right? And you're not in the fire service. You're not, you know, you're not a human being. You don't exist to please other people, right? So figure out what your mission is. Figure out what you want to accomplish and stick with it. And you're going to face criticism, but you have to brush it off, right?
Yeah.
So, and you got to keep moving forward. And I hope that's an adequate answer, but no,
it's a great answer. And, you know, I'm always a little intrigued by that bottom third in the volunteer fire service, because look, the bottom third in the career service, it's their livelihood. So whatever, whether they're just chugging along, just waiting to hit that 20 and get out, you know, and go be miserable doing something else. Okay, I get it. But when you have that bottom third in something you're actually volunteering to do, mm-hmm. I've never quite understood it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Why exactly are you here? You
know, but, right. You know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's very challenging to find why their why, you know, but I always think it warrants a conversation. You know, if I see somebody performing at that level, you know, I am famous for saying, so why did you decide to join the fire service?
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear the answers, right, you know, like that some people say.
Yeah, invite that question and see if they know why. Yeah. And then if they give you an answer and they say, well, I really wanted to do this, and they're not doing it, then there you go. You know, like if they say something to you like, well, I really joined because I wanted to be an operator, but unfortunately, you know, I'm not an operator right now. Oh, why not? How can we help you get there? You know,
sure.
For some of these people, nobody's ever asked them,
yeah,
you know, and nobody's ever addressed it, career or volunteer, as a performance issue. And it really is.
And it takes courage to have those real conversations, right? I mean, whether you're paid, career, you know, volunteer, whatever, it takes courage to have real conversations with people to be like, hey, you know, why are you here? Why'd you sign up? You know, and it might be a moment for them of real introspection. You never know when you can present that for somebody.
Right. There's a difference between going on the attack and being like, why are you here? You don't do anything. And
yeah.
tell me about yeah. why you joined. Like, there's a difference between inviting a discussion yeah. and putting somebody on the offensive. And that's a, yeah. and that's a skill that people need to develop yeah. too, as firefighters.
Verbiage is very important sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. being candid, being yeah. direct, being genuine, you know, all those different things are very important.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely a good point, Kara. Well, you know, I mean, look, you know, some people in our world are like, they just never want to approach the hard subject. You know, they never want to ask yeah. the hard questions, as a reporter might put it, you know.
Yeah.
But
you want to be a leader? Yeah. You want to be a leader, have courage, you know, hold your people accountable, you know, career, volunteer, whatever, hold your people accountable and ask the real questions and have those real conversations, which can be quite uncomfortable. You know, my wife avoids confrontation like no other. I don't invite confrontation, but I definitely don't avoid it. And it's something that I'm comfortable, you know, having those I don't mean to be confrontational, but I'm fine with having those conversations that might have a little confrontation within them, because I'm just trying to be real. I'm just trying to be genuine with somebody. Sure. And like you said, figure out what their motivations are, figure out their why, you know, why are you here? You know, why do you want to be part of the fire service, whether you're a career or volunteer? So yeah, if you want to be a leader, have courage and have those real conversations.
Get in there and get awkward.
Yeah. I love awkward silence. Can we have like 10 seconds of awkward silence?
I'm your girl. Just yeah. make it weird. Just uh-huh. there it is. But you know, if nobody ever asks them and nobody ever talks to them about it, you know, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to get to the bottom of a situation that you may be able to help somebody overcome, right? Overcome the mediocrity, overcome the bailing out, the checked out attitude, whatever. Maybe you've got a chance to overcome it. Maybe that's just who they are as a person, but you at mm-hmm. least met them where they're at and you shot your shot, and that's all yeah. you can do. So you've given 100% of what you can do to make yeah. the situation better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or look, or maybe something's going on in there. Right. Maybe something's going on in their life. And, yeah. and part of being a leader too is having the courage to ask those difficult questions, because it might open the door to, hey, well, I've got some personal stuff going on right now, but if you're okay, you know, if you're all right to listen, I wouldn't mind sharing, you know.
Right.
And that could be it too, you know. I mean, yeah. that's can be a big part of the problem.
Yeah, there might be some deep-seated issues that, you know, we had no idea about, that they got some stuff going on. Yep. But like Kara said, I mean, like, what's the worst can happen? I mean, you state your piece, you figure out what's going on with them, you meet them in a level you know, with compassion and hopefully empathy, and you figure out what their motivations are, their why is. And the worst that can happen is that they stay the same, right? You know, right. And the best thing that can happen is that they say, okay, it's time to improve myself. So
right. yeah,
for sure. So Jim, what's next? What's next?
Yeah. Getting out of winter. Okay. You know, I'm a big fan of summer, so getting out of winter, and I don't have it anything like you guys have it up in, you know, the Northeast. But what's next is I would like to record an audible version of Firefighter Success and put it out there. I want to keep recording podcasts and learning from the great guests I've had, and I want to have both of you guys on the yeah. podcast and learn from you guys and share your stories with my listeners, and awesome. just trying to reach as many firefighters as possible with the book and with the podcast. And like I said before, it's just about providing firefighters with a resource that they can use to hopefully benefit, you know, their fire service journey to success. So no big grand goals or anything. I don't want to conquer the world.
Are you going to read the audible yourself, or are you going to get like Samuel Jackson or something?
Yeah, I should. I might have you do it. Obviously, it's funny, you know, I started the podcast, but I'm the first person to admit I do not have a voice for radio. I do not have a voice for, you know, podcasting, but I do it anyway, because I just want to, you know, learn from others and share what others can share with other people to help them be successful. But I will consider you and Samuel L. Jackson. submit your resume to me by 1900 tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, that'll you'll, look, you'll reach another whole, you'll reach all the true non-readers, you know, once
you know, that's the ironic thing is that, you know, I've written two books in the fire for firefighters, for the fire service. And that's the ironic thing is that, you know, there's authors within the fire service who write these books, but 95% of the fire service aren't really readers, you know, right. And you're a self-admitted non-reader per se. And so that's the hard thing is that, you know, maybe someone's not going to read your book, but they might listen to it or they might listen to a podcast or something like that. So mm-hmm. any way I can reach, you know, people to help them on their success journey, I want to do it. So that's really what I'm all about.
Listen though, being transparent with everybody as we try to do here, I don't think, actually, I know I wouldn't have got as much out of this doing the Audible because first of all, and I think I said this, I might've said this to you in one of our chat conversations. If you saw how many pages here that I have dog eared, it's mostly a book.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Thank you.
I've only seen him get out a highlighter one other time.
Well, no. So that's where I'm going with this, Kara. I have not gotten out the highlighter yet because had I had the highlighter out, I would still be reading the book. So
it wouldn't be done yet.
Right. So what I did was I read it cover to cover. And now what I plan on doing is when something pops up that I need a little refresher on, or if I just want to feel like going back and reading a chapter, that's when I'm going to go back and I'm going to hit it with the highlighter. So
I love it.
And I couldn't do that on Audible, right? Even
yeah,
if Samuel L. Jackson was reading it.
That's true. And I've got your address. I'm seriously going to send you those little post-it tabs and you can write, you know, whatever each section is. So right, that's right, just going to be just for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we need. But that's great. That's great. I mean, I definitely think the more people that get this in their hands, and I'm sure some that will listen to this episode that missed the social media buzz will hopefully now go and get themselves a copy.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on here. It's just fun talking with friends about, you know, mutual passions that we obviously share. It's been such a fun conversation. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love having you. And so we're asking everybody one question this season. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're in a new season. I'm not really sure yet, but we're in winter. We're in winter. But you know, obviously, our lane is the volunteer fire service. When we started out, our goal was, and still remains to this day, promoting professionalism in the volunteer fire service. So our question of the year to all our guests is: what does it mean to you to be a professional volunteer?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm sure you've read in the book or possibly in the 101 Rules for Firefighter Success that I put out that's on the website. But you know, I love that question because professionalism has nothing to do with a paycheck, right? It has nothing to do with your compensation monetarily or any other type of compensation. It really all comes back to a couple of things for me, like how do you carry yourself? You know, are you acting professionally? Are you taking your training seriously? Are you carrying yourself in a professional manner? Do you look the part? Are you physically fit for duty? Are you dressed? I'm not saying well in like a tuxedo, but is your shirt tucked in? Are you shaven? Are you commanding the respect of everyone you interact with, whether it's a firefighter, whether it's a citizen? And like I said, professionalism has nothing to do with whether you receive that paycheck, right? It has everything to do in the way you carry yourself and the way you act. And I think something that's really important for me is the example that we all set, because one of us represents all of us, right? career, paid on call, volunteer. One of us represents all of us. And so the public has no idea whether you're volunteer or career, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You know, all they want is someone to show up to their house and solve their problems. And that's really going to come back to your training, right? It's going to come back to, did you take your training seriously? Are you training on the right things? Is your, like we mentioned before, is your training relevant, you know, to what the job entails? And so there's so many things that encompass being a professional, you know, mm-hmm. acting the part, looking the part, and making sure you're staying on top of the game with your training. But really, it just comes back to, you know, being humble, serving your public the best way possible. And that doesn't depend on your paycheck, is I think what I can basically say, you know, just
love it.
Act the part and look the part.
Perfect.
Absolutely. I love it. I knew you'd have a great answer, and that was a great answer. I'm excited. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
This was a lot of fun. I knew it would be. I've really been looking forward to this. I hope I was really praying that it was definitely going to work out, you know, cause I knew we always have some questions with everybody's scheduling and is a date going to,
yeah, you
know, is a date going to come and are we going to hit it? And is everybody going to be able to get on? And I'm glad this worked out. And I, again, just to give another shout out to you, to the book, to the podcast. You know, if you're not listening, if you haven't read it yet, go out, get yourself a copy. You will not regret it. And congratulations on the success of it. And just keep doing great things.
Great. And if you don't mind me sending people to firefightersuccessbook.com if they want to get a copy, firefightersuccessbook.com. I know you held up the 101 rules for firefighter success. That's a free download that everybody can get at the website.
Yep.
You can also access the podcast through the website that I just mentioned. And then, like you guys, I'm on social media. So at Firefighter Success, you know, posting stuff daily, whether it has to do with motivation or, you know, anything to help firefighters be successful. You know, that's what I'm all about. That's what I'm passionate about. So hit me up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, you know, Instagram, all those good, those social media outlets. But, thanks again for having me on. And I, you know, aside from, you know, having me on, just thanks for you guys' friendship and all your support and encouragement. It really means a lot to me.
Oh, absolutely. Same here. And listen, just one more thing I want to say, you know, I know some of the people that listen sometimes seem to think that some of our guests and the people we bring on, you know, are like these mythical untouchable figures. I got to tell you, I have not come across anybody yet in this journey that I haven't sent, you know, shot a simple message to on Instagram that hasn't responded and responded like, you know, with actual caring, like they get back to you and actually want to help you in your journey. So, you know, don't think that when a guy like Jim comes on and throws his social media out there, you know, he's the real deal. And if you got a question about the book or a question about, you know, the book after you read it, look, if you don't want to spend the money yet and you want to just see what you could possibly get the download, read the download and then buy the book. All right. But
that's right. It will reel you in. It will bait you in.
It will bait you in and it'll reel you in. And again, you know, Jim is a real guy and he will, he'll definitely respond to you. And Jim, again, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on. Kara, thank you all for always being here, obviously.
Sure.
And my friends, thanks again for another great episode. And stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.